Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14, we find the words of Jesus. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. You notice here in the words of Jesus that there are two gates with two fates. There is no side door here. There is no third alternative. There is one gate that leads to life, and there is one gate that leads to death and destruction. But I want to point out to you here in this message this morning that in the Bible there are literal gates and there are symbolic gates. The Bible tells us, for example, in Acts chapter 3, that the man who was born lame was laid daily at the gate of the temple. That was a literal, physical gate. In the city of the New Jerusalem, which is a real place, the New Jerusalem, there will be real gates into the city. They are literally gates of separation. In the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, as things wind down and come to an end, we read this: blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside, folks, look at this. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. There are literal gates, but there are also symbolic gates. There are gates that speak symbolically and figuratively about life and death, good and evil. The psalmist said, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell are not iron bars. The gates of hell are forces of wickedness. We're told in God's word, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, I want you to look very carefully here as we get into this message today. Look at what Jesus said about himself. So Jesus said again, I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Those who come in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. How many of you know today the devil is a liar? And he's a thief. But But Jesus said, I have come in order that you might have life. Life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. You know, it's interesting to me, in biblical times, the shepherd would actually lay in the opening and the entrance of a sheepfold. The shepherd himself would be the gate. The shepherd would be the gate to protect the sheep from outside predators. And so, this morning as we look at these two gates with two fates that Jesus places before us, this is all about choice. Life is not a game to be gambled with. And it's not like that old game show. Did any of you ever watch that game show, Let's Make the Deal? It's not like that where you have a choice between three options. There's only one choice between two paths and two destinies. Here's the good news today. Oh, praise God. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God has already provided a gate for us to enter through in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe in him is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of his only begotten Son. There is salvation in no one else. Please note that today. God has given no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He today, listen to me, Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. You can't make up your own truth and your own rules. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, the truth is in Jesus. People say, what is truth? The truth is in Jesus. That's what the Bible says. It's not what you, based on what you feel. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Please understand something this morning, folks. You, sitting right here in this place today, you have already made a choice. Not choosing him is a choice against him. Are you with me? Not entering the narrow gate is a choice for the wide gate. Jesus says, here I am. God's already done everything that needs to be done for you to be saved. And Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'm going to come in. Have you opened the door? That's something you have to do. You have to open the door. You have to enter through the gate. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, tell all the people, this is what the Lord says. Take your choice of life or death. Folks, what I'm saying in this sermon today, any gate outside of Jesus is the wide gate. And here are the details. The wide gate, it's broad and it's easy. Why are so many young people just, you know, the herd mentality, just following along? Because it's easy to follow what everyone else is doing. It's crowded, well traveled, but it leads straight to hell and destruction. Let's consider for a few moments today, and I hope I have your attention in this message. Let's consider for a few moments how the wide gate might apply to three different areas: the world, the church, and the family. First of all, the world, and this ought to be obvious because we know what the world is like. But when I say the world, I'm not talking about the physical earth and life on the earth. God created everything, and He said it was good when He created. But sin and evil came into the picture. That's why when I talk about the world, the wide gate of the world, we're talking about the Antichrist spirit that is in the world, the mindset, the philosophy that says, I'm my own captain. I can do as I please. I can make up my own rules. And it's this Antichrist spirit of rebellion against what God says. That's what I'm talking about. And what does God tell us as believers? Several things God says about the world. Several commandments, several warnings. Do not love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do not love the world. Do not be conformed to the world. Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And then he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be stained by this world. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. There's a big, wide gate out there in the world. There's so much more I could say about that, but I want to talk about the church. I think it's very important today for me to talk about the church. When I talk about the church, look, I'm talking about the church world, okay? Everything that falls under the umbrella of Christianity. Because we know that God will always have a remnant of faithful, obedient, spirit-led people who are seeking to love God and to be obedient to God. God will always have those people, those of us who are committed. But when you look at the church overall, where are we? Where are we? I mean, it's the wide, the church has chosen the wide gate. St. Augustine said, in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. And I put that question there about from Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? I want to tell you something right now, folks. We accept all seekers and all sinners that walk through that door. You're welcome. But we cannot compromise the Word of God. That's what, you know, the super sensitive movement. And I understand that idea that we want to meet people in their brokenness. Yes, we do. We want to meet people with the love of Jesus Christ. But if we become accommodating, that's what the church has done. Instead of standing firm, not so out of control, we're trying to get it back. And a lot of the modern-day church If you come along and there's a bridge down the road and it's dark, and that bridge is on, I know that, and I don't stop you and tell you, hey, if you keep going, you're going to go down. You're gonna fall into destruction. If I don't warn you, is that love? If I don't speak the truth in love, and that's what's happened in the church. Now, you don't hear, where's the message of repentance? That's the message that Jesus preached. Why shouldn't I preach the message of repentance? First words recorded in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus came preaching repentance. The cross. That there's only one. I want to tell you something right now. If you do not believe that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the inspired word of God, I cannot walk in agreement with you fully. If you don't believe that. Because I believe the Bible is God's inspired word. And what breaks my heart? That there were people that sat for years under my preaching at Cornerstone Gospel Church in Vienna. And then I learned that now they say they reject Paul's writing. Paul was a bigot. They reject the Old Testament. I'm just going to accept the words of Jesus. I'm just going to define it for myself with all love. And then they're accommodating it. That's what we are today. These wide gate trends that have taken place in the church. If you think there's nothing wrong with sexual immorality or abortion, I can't walk in agreement with you. Hey, this might be my last week. I don't know. God's way. Unless you repent, you will perish. Those are the words of Jesus. Paul wrote to the church. He talked about Christ presenting to himself a church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and blameless. The Bible says, pursue peace with all people. That's what I want. I want to live in peace. I don't want someone getting up in my face and with their reprobate philosophies. I want to live in peace. But the Bible says without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Can't fool God. And God will always have the last word. Let me talk about the family. Okay? Look what's happened to the family unit. People have tried to reinvent and redefine the family. I was telling someone the other day, I think what's different about today, there's always been evil and sin and all these things going on, but today I believe it's organized evil. Organized evil. And there's a spirit of what I call dilution. Dilution. They're trying to dilute our history. They're trying to reinterpret the Bible, trying to redefine terms and words, and they're trying to dilute the family. I want to tell you something about the government of the United States of America. The government of the United States of America is anti-family. Anti-family. Look at these guidelines. God gives us the guidelines for the family. Male and female, He created them. What more? Isn't it pretty clear? Male and female. leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Now, here's what's interesting to me. And I really didn't realize this until I really saw this a little bit closer, but I looked at these verses like, male and female, he created them. That's Genesis chapter 1:27. And then, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That's Genesis 2:24. But then, Jesus, in Mark 10, verse 6 and 7, Jesus linked those two together. Jesus did. Male and female, he created them. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. One of the arguments you hear people making is, hey, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexual behavior. Why is that? He had no reason to say anything about it. It wasn't like people walking around with their shirts and flags and whatnot and proclaiming to the world their sexuality. No. But here's the bottom line, folks. Jesus said everything that needed to be said. Therefore shall a man leave his father. A biological man shall leave his biological father and his biological mother and cleave to his biological wife. Amen? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Husbands, okay, men, work up your ears here. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. The Bible tells us, men, if we don't honor our wives, then God won't even hear our prayers. If you're treating your wife like a doormat, what do you expect to happen? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord. And so God gives us the guidelines. How many of you believe we're living in the end times right now? But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Paul gives this big, long list. You can see all of this operating today. Then he went on to say, talk about those who have a form of godliness but deny its power. That's what I said about, I can't walk in agreement with a denomination or a church or an individual Christian. If we can't agree on it in the essentials unity and the non-essentials liberty and all things charity, if we can't agree on the essentials, if we can't agree on the fact that the Bible is the inspired word of God, Jesus shed his blood on the cross for salvation, that we receive by grace. If we can't agree on how God defines what immorality is, then we're not going to be walking in unity and agreement. Okay. I'm going to let it all out here today, okay? The narrow way of Jesus. No compromise. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not. Peter and John, I think I preached about that last week, didn't I? Where they recall on the carpet. They were told by the religious establishment. They were told by the governing authorities, you just shut up. You keep your mouth closed. You do not speak the word. You do not speak the name of Jesus. And you know what they said? We must obey God rather than men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar. He had this image, and he told them, you're going to bow down. If you don't bow down, you're going into that fire. You're going into the fiery furnace. You know what they said? They said, okay, be known to you and all the people. Our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't deliver us, even if we're toasted in that fire, we are not going to bow to the image. We're not going to bow to this idol that you said. I want to tell you something. I'm not bowing to the government of the United States of America. They're supposed to serve us. We're not supposed to serve them. And if we don't get these reprobates cleared out, we're doomed. I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to compromise. Self-denial. The way of Jesus. You know, we have to take a stand and, he didn't call us to be doormats. But there is self-denial. Take up your cross. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And we're to take up our cross. You say, Pastor Mark, my cross is, I got a really bad job. I have a bad job and I work around a lot of nasty people. That's my cross. No, that's not your cross. That's just your circumstances in life. The cross is the cross of Jesus. The way of Jesus is the way of self-denial, of service, of laying down your life for the kingdom of God. And that's, it's not just saying, I said a sinner's prayer, and I got my ticket for heaven, and I'm just waiting. Obedience. Third one, obedience. And this, I'm going to be coming to an end. Just hang with me here, because I don't want you to miss this. Look at this. Look at this passage here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Paul was writing to Timothy, giving instructions, and he said, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Not to condone and accommodate them and say, oh, you're okay, I'm okay, everything's okay. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. Even repentance is a gift from God. I'm so thankful today that he allowed me to repent. So that they may know the truth. And then they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who had caught them. Now watch this. Who had caught them and made them obey his will. We tell people, God has a plan for your life. God's will for your life. God has a plan for your life. I want to tell you something. The devil also has a plan for your life. And the devil says, here's this broad gate. Here's this wide gate. And you can be free. Look at this. You can. And what happens? He gets you through that gate and then the hammer comes down. The trap is set. And what you thought was going to bring freedom to you, it ended up being bondage. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. All things are lawful, but I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything. I'm not going to be in bondage. But that's what the devil does. That's the devil's trap. Here's the wide gate. You go through it, and he's got you. But then we look at God's way, and we think, oh, the Lord, the narrow way that I'm preaching about today, oh, we think that that's so restrictive. It's so restrictive. And we're missing out on something. No, it's not restrictive. It's liberty. It's life. The narrow way leads to life. The devil had a plan for Jesus. Did you know this? Jesus was in the wilderness. The devil came with his temptation. Yeah, the devil had a plan. You know the three temptations there, and I'll just mention one. The devil took Jesus, he went to a high mountain and had him look at all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said, all of this is yours. Here's this wide gate, Jesus. All of this is yours. And you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, every time he quoted the word, you know why? That's why we need to be people of the word. I'm going to stand on God's word. You can't go wrong. Standing on God's word. And none of us are perfect. You know, I was talking about the family earlier. How many of you know there are no perfect parents? There are no perfect grandparents. There are no perfect children. Oh, I know you think your children, your child or grandchild is perfect. You know, but there really aren't any. There aren't any perfect families. And there aren't any perfect Christians. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need to pray and meditate on God's Word. So Jesus quoted the scripture each time. And in that one, he said, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Resist the devil, he'll flee. And that's what the devil did as Jesus won the victory. I'm going to close this message today with a very familiar story. Perhaps it could be the greatest story ever told. When I look at all the stories that Jesus told, this story might be, in fact, the greatest story that anyone who's ever lived has ever told. It's a story of the prodigal son, the waiting father. Some people call the waiting father prodigal. It doesn't matter whatever time you want to put up. But here's this son. He's looking at him, oh, my father is so restrictive. Here I am. I'm in bondage here in my father's house, and I'm trapped. And there's this big wide gate out there. There's the world out there. And I'm going to go out. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what pleases me. And he did that. He said, Father, give me my inheritance. And he went out into the far country with righteous living. And what happened? He was trapped in bondage. He was destitute. He was hungry. He was filthy. He was living with pigs. But then, thank God, the Bible says he came to his senses. He came to his senses. And he said to me, here's what I'll do. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to go back. Maybe my father will receive me. Maybe I can just say, I'll be a servant. And here's how good God is. Because when the father saw him a long way off, he felt compassion. And he ran out to his son. His son that had gone out in rebellion and sin. And now he was broken and destitute. And he threw his arms around him. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. That word there is just not like any word about love or compassion. That's the strongest emotion of love in God's word. When it says he was moved with compassion, because it moved him to do something, he went out, threw his arms around his son, and received him back. And I believe today that's what God wants to do with his people. Come. We have to get back. We have to get back to God. Don't we? We're going down. Unless we do. So, it's a narrow way. And I know what I'm preaching today, I guarantee you, the vast majority of the world out there, they don't like it. They don't like the message that I preach today. But it's the truth. It's the truth.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.